or young you are, no matter how rich or poor you are, no matter where you come from or what you do, all of us are susceptible to falling into a certain type of trap. A trap that I'd like to call the comparison trap. The trap of comparing ourselves to other people. And no point in human history has the consequences of the comparison trap been so huge. What I mean by that is, for most of human history, people would live in a small village. They would work with other people, usually a few hundred families, to band together and to create a life for each other. And outside of that community, you weren't really aware of the rest of the modern world. But as time went on, people became more aware of what was going on. First, there were books and newspapers, and now we live in an age where we can literally stay in touch with what millions of people are doing, with what millions of people's lives are like. Through social media, through things like Facebook and Instagram, we can peer into the parts of other people's lives that they want us to see. And we can see all the things that they have, all the things that they are. And if we're not careful, we begin to think all the ways that they are better off than us. See, the truth of the matter is, one of the quickest ways to be miserable is to compare ourselves to other people. Because you can easily find ways that people are better off than you, that people have more money than you, that people have more friends, that people live in nicer houses. Take your pick. All of these are options. But we can also compare ourselves in a bad way, not only to other people, but also to our own selves. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when we're young and we're kids, many of us compare ourselves to our future selves. Many of us sit around and wonder and wait what it's like to be a teenager, what it's like to be able to get our license and drive our own car. And then when we're teenagers, we wish that we were adults. And we wish that we could be grown-ups and be independent and have our own lives and our own houses and our own kids. But there becomes a certain point where we stop comparing ourselves to our future selves and start comparing ourselves to our former selves. At a certain point, when we get older, we begin to wish that we were younger again. All of a sudden, we begin to wish for the days where we were a teenager or a kid, where we looked better and we had more energy and we were more physically fit and had less responsibility. You see, if you look for it, you can always find a way to find something that you don't have. Find a way that somebody else somewhere has something that you feel like you deserve to. And as I mentioned before, this attitude of entitlement, this attitude of constantly wanting more, is the quickest way to not having inner peace. So the question becomes, if we aren't meant to compare ourselves to other people, how are we meant to view ourselves and the world? Unfortunately, our scripture reading gives us a wonderful example of that today. In our scripture reading today, Jesus offers another one of his parables. And as you may remember, a parable is a story that isn't historically true, but tells an important lesson. In our scripture reading today, Jesus tells a story about a wealthy landowner who needed laborers for the day. You see, at this point in history, if there was a landowner who had a lot of land, what they would do is they would go to the marketplace every single day and they would find people who need work. And if you were a person who needed work, you would go to the marketplace and wait and hope that you would get picked by a landowner. If you got picked, you could work the day, make the day's wages, and have enough money to support your family for just that day. But if you weren't picked that day, your family didn't eat. You didn't have enough money to feed them, and you had to wait until tomorrow and hoped that you would be picked then. And so this is what's happening in our scripture reading today. The wealthy landowner goes to the marketplace first thing in the day, let's say 6 a.m., and picks a few people to begin to work and says, I will give you a full day's wages if you work for me the whole day. The wealthy landowner realizes that he doesn't have enough people. He needs more. So he goes back out at 9 a.m. and finds more people to work for him. He does this again at 12, and he does this again at 3, and finally he does this again at 5. Each time period, he realizes, wait, I need more people. There's more work to be done. More hands are needed, and he goes back to the marketplace at 6, 9, 12, 3, and 5, and begins to find people to work for him. The people who work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., well, they obviously worked a long day. They worked a 12-hour day. But there was another group of people, the people who got picked at 5 p.m., and they only worked an hour. So the end of the day comes, and the landowner calls everyone together to be paid. And the first people who get paid are the people who started working at 5 p.m. They're lined up in the front of the line. And the people who started working at 5 p.m. are paid a full day's wages. While as everyone's standing in line, talking amongst each other, all of a sudden word about this has reached the back of the line. The people who started working at 6 a.m. heard that the people who only worked an hour received a full day's wage. They begin to think to themselves and wonder, well, if they only worked an hour and I worked 12 hours, I must get like 10 times a full day's wage, right? Well, much to their disappointment, they get to the front of the line and they receive a full day's wage as well. They say, what gives? These people only worked an hour and I worked 12 hours and I only get what they get? That's not fair. The landowner looks at them surprised and says, did I not give you what I promised? Did I not give you what I said I would? And am I not entitled to do with what I want with my own money? Now, first glance of this reading, we might have a tendency to side with the laborers, to say, yeah, that's not fair, that's not right. If you do more work, you should get more money. But there's a closer examination of this reading that teaches us something important, teaches us an important lesson that will prepare us to not compare ourselves to other people and give us a sense of inner peace. So there's a few things that I'd like to pull from it. The first thing is this, is that you, when you compare yourself to another person, you cannot look under the hood of their life. When you compare yourself to another person, you cannot look under the hood of their life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you've ever seen a car, right? And you've ever seen a really nice, expensive car driving down the road, maybe it's a great brand or it's a great color and you're just amazed at this car. What you can't see is what's underneath the hood of that car, what's really making that car tick, what's really making that car run. And you see, the same is said, it can be said with people. Through social media, people are able to show you the parts of their life that they want to show you and nothing more. But no matter what you see on social media, there is always something that someone is struggling with. You can't really know what's in a person's heart. You can't really know their struggles. In our scripture reading today, the people who started working at 5 p.m., they got lucky. They got lucky to earn a full day's wage only working for an hour, no doubt about it. But all we know is they got lucky for that day. Maybe they hadn't worked for days. Maybe their families were starving. Maybe they needed that full day's wage just to survive. You see, yes, they were lucky in that moment, but can we say that they were lucky in everything? Most certainly, there are times where someone else gets more than us, or times where someone else seems like they're blessed in a different way than us, but everybody is going through a battle you can't see, especially through social media. And so remember, when you start comparing yourselves to another person, you can't see everything that's really going on with that person. The second lesson that we are called to take from this scripture reading is to remember that we are more blessed than we often realize. Those people who worked all day and who complained that they didn't receive more than what was promised, where were they at the beginning of the day? They were standing in the marketplace. They were probably filled with a sense of fear and anxiety, wondering if they would have the opportunity to work that day. And I imagine when the landowner picked them out of the crowd, they were filled with an immense sense of gratitude that they were chosen, that they would be able to feed their families that day. But how quickly that gratitude wore off. All of a sudden, the job that they were blessed with became the job that they were entitled to. And we have a tendency to do the same things. Sometimes the things in our life that are blessings, we begin to feel entitled to. And we begin to feel like we need more, or we should be more. I remember when I was a teenager and I was traveling to a sports game with some relatives, and we were driving through a very wealthy neighborhood. And I remember we were driving past these huge, giant mansions. And I remember a relative of mine saying, "Boy, I really hope these people appreciate what they have." And I do too. And I did too. But something stuck with me about that statement. Something in my mind made me begin to ask the question, yeah, I hope they appreciate what they have, but do we appreciate what we have? Nowhere throughout human history have we had the modern comforts, the modern conveniences that we have today. Most of us have refrigerators full of food. Most of us have pantries full of food. Where throughout human history and in many of the parts of the world today, people struggle with hunger and starvation. If we get a little cold, we turn on the heat. If we get a little hot, we turn on the air conditioner. We can control climate and our comfort at just the turn of a dial. But through most of human history, and again, in certain parts of the world, people struggle with shelter and warmth and a good place for them and their families to rest their heads. You see, these things are modern day miracles. These things are not things that we invented or we created ourselves, but things that we were simply born into, things that we get to have that other people wish desperately that they could have. But so easily we forget this when we compare ourselves to other people. We can fall victim to being like those people who worked at the beginning of the day, not realizing or not remembering what it's like to have nothing. The third and final lesson that we are to take from this parable today is to remember is that at your core, who you are and what you have is a gift. You see, all of these laborers were depending on the generosity of the landowner. All of these laborers needed the landowner to step in and call them into the field. And our relationship to God is the same way. You see, none of us created ourselves. None of us birthed ourselves. None of us give ourselves the air that we are breathing now, the hearts that are pumping in our chests. All of these things are gifts. And yes, like the laborers, we do have a role to play. Like the laborers, we can make choices and decisions to participate in the kingdom of God or to not participate in the kingdom of God. We affect our lives and our lives of others by the decisions that we make. But our very being, our very bodies, our very existence, these are things that we did not produce or create ourselves. But these are things that we simply rely on the generosity of God for. And the greatest gift of all, the greatest thing that we will all experience is heaven. And this can't be compared to any earthly reward, any monetary prize. This is the greatest thing that we will all receive. See, God gives to us all generously in this life. God blesses us in different ways, no doubt. But the greatest blessing of all we receive, not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. So may you live your life not comparing yourself to others. May you live your life not feeling like you need more, but may you live your life with a heart of gratitude, knowing that all you are, all you have, and all you will be is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to remember, not to compare ourselves to others, but to give thanks to you. Help us live our lives not with a sense of entitlement, but with a sense of gratitude. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.